With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Deep Space High, Sci-Fi TV Review Podcast, where we break down the latest and possibly not-so-greatest from today's sci-fi television. I'm one of your hosts, Jedi Master Steve.
And I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
Chris, how's it going?
It's not too bad. You know, just school. It's kind of being a pain in the ass. You know how it is.
Yep. Been there, done that.
Yeah. Hopefully this is my last semester. I'll probably take one, maybe two more classes over the summer, but they should be the easy classes, like, to end off my year. So this is the hard part. This last stretch.
Well, you're in the home stretch. Get her done.
I know. And I've been just these last couple days, I've just been,
you know, crazy.
Wake up, go to bed, doing nothing but school, studying. I did get a chance to go hiking though, but Mount Charleston, while it was completely covered in snow, and Red Rock.
Yeah, oh, I saw Vegas just got covered in snow like they did in 2008.
Kind of. So when they say Vegas got covered in snow, they mean the northwestern part of Las Vegas, a.k.a. Summerlin, got snow.
Right, Henderson, but the Strip got some snow, too.
Yeah, it got a little bit.
That's all it needs.
Yeah, pretty much everything.
That's a big event if that happens.
Kind of, yeah. But, I mean, everything south of the Strip just got rain. So, like, I live south in the southeast part of the valley, and we got nothing but rain. But all my friends who live up in the Northwest are just like, oh, look at the snow. And I'm like, all right, fuck y'all, motherfuckers. I'm going to Red Rock. And I'm going to go hike in the snow since y'all got it and we didn't.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh. But it was deep, too. And I'm not even kidding. It was literally balls deep. I took a step in the snow and I actually fell all the way balls deep.
There was literally 30, 2.5-3 feet of snow.
Yeah. They were not exaggerating. Up in Mount Charleston. Not in the valley.
Oh, okay, yeah. Non-compact. Okay.
And yeah, because, I mean, that was... You couldn't even build the snowman. It was... It almost seemed like fake snow, but it was just not sticking.
Yeah, you have my snowboard. If you ever get a chance, just take it up there. You might need to wax the bottom of it.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I might do that one of these days, just take it up, especially if it keeps snowing, but I just need to get the wax and figure out how
not
to
even.
Wax it.
I mean, 30 inches of snow up there, that's enough for the rest of the season. That'll get
you think
that
so?
Snow. Yeah, that'll get that ski resort. As long as it doesn't get incredibly hot, that'll be enough snow to get it through March.
Well, it is Vegas, so you never know.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, I might do that. I don't know. We'll see. I'm broke, so I got to still pay the I still got to pay the lift fee.
Find a way.
Yep.
So, okay.
We're here for sci-fi, not...
Yes.
You can do it! You can do it all night long!
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, man, let's do it!
I mean, come on, I just don't see a problem here. Let's just do it!
I'm gonna go do it!
Unfortunately, we gotta talk Discovery, though.
Well, at least we're in season two, so.
Yeah. It's not bad so far.
I mean, on today's episode of Deep Space High, we're going episodes 1, 2, and 3 of season 2 of Star Trek Discovery, entitled Brother, New Eden, and Point of Light. So it's not a bad, I mean, it's not a bad start. I love Captain Pike in this so far, and I like the actor. Man, my dumbass, I didn't think to do the research and pull up his name. I've seen him in Inhumans, and I know he's in Sons of Anarchy.
I don't know. I know that he's doing a phenomenal job so far.
Anson Mount.
What was it?
That's his name. Anson Mount. Not sure if it's Ann or
Anson. Oh, yeah. Anson Mount, yeah.
But yeah, he had roles in... Oh, Hell's on Wheels is what I was thinking of, not a... Sons of Anarchy.
That's close enough.
But yeah, he's a good actor. He's... And I can't wait for his new, or their new, Strange World show that I think, hopefully, fingers crossed, will be the best Trek we've seen since All Access has taken over.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, he's doing I really like how they're writing Captain Pike. It seems like, I don't know if you've noticed this, but it almost seems like somebody else stepped in from season 1 to 2 and was like, okay, season 1 was shit. We're going to listen to what some of the fans were saying was shit about it, and we're going to try and tweak it a little bit. And yeah, that's kind of what it, you know, like they've added hair for the Klingons. There's a little bit more humor. It seems a little bit more Star Trek. I mean, you could tell there was definite changes from season 1 to season 2.
Yeah. Someone stepped in and made a course correction,
which good for them.
Yeah.
They kind of needed to.
I agree. So let's talk about this episode 1. So we see Captain Pike for the first time. He beans over. And, you know, he gets straight to the point. He tells Saru, I'm here on behalf of Starfleet Command to take over the Discovery for the time being because the Enterprise is crippled.
Now, okay, I got a question. The chick who beamed on in red, was that the same actress who played the security officer in season 1 just wearing makeup? Because it kind of looked like her.
Yeah, I mean, they look like her, maybe.
Because it looked like the same actress, just like, hey... We're going to go real OG Star Trek and just keep the same actors and just put you in different makeup.
Yeah, they might be similar ethnicities, but I don't think they're definitely not the same actress.
Oh, I don't know. It looked like her, so.
Nope. It is not. It is not.
Yeah, so, but I mean.
So this first episode it sets up the plot that, well, first of all, we find out, or did we find out?
Well, what are we?
Well, because the Enterprise sat out the war because they were on their 5-year mission exploring strange new worlds, and
they were doing their mission as explorers. Yeah,
They were so far out that they wouldn't have been able to make it back in time to fight the war. And then Brennan also mentioned that, you know, Starfleet didn't want their prized possession to go down in case it was needed for. Worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm. And they were even complimenting the helmsman women, I guess. I don't know what you would call it in this case scenario, but they were even complimenting the beauty of the Enterprise, which I will admit it was a beautiful ship. They did a good job with that CGI.
Yeah.
But
it looked good.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you could tell it's a prized possession with the fleet.
Because one of them, I think the helm. She said something that ship is, it must have taken something huge because that ship is pretty much a beast.
Yeah.
To put it. She's seen the specs on it. She's like, that thing's a beast. Something massive had to take it down. And they kind of allude to it. You know, Pike says something, he encountered something and it wiped out a lot of his systems. But I would like to know more about it.
Well, I will admit, this is one of the things that I did like about Star Trek Discovery, was it kind of introduced a transition period with new ship designs, because when – this is one of the things that I liked about the original Star Trek shows. As you continued through the different ones, they constantly put out new ship designs, new upgrades, new features. It's kind of like Iron Man's armor. You know, you had the OG one, and every new movie he's constantly upgrading. Right, and I like how they're kind of still doing that, where they had older starship designs before the war that were more based off of that NX model, keeping it similar to old Enterprise. And now they're kind of showing the transition in designs and uniforms to the modern Star Trek original series era. You know, the newer Constitution class Enterprise. It's, you know, it's the Beast. It's the top of the line. So I kind of, it's a subtle thing that most people probably wouldn't know, but I really enjoy that they did that. That just shows a little bit more attention to detail.
Yeah, and this episode set up the plot for the season. You know, Pike essentially is going to be investigating these 7 anomalies, or what they call them as signals, which is just a big bright red light in the sky that's kind of spread out, and it's popped up across the galaxy, and it's kind of it has a spread of like 35 or so light years.
Interesting.
So
7 signals.
That's kind of going to be the plot. They're investigating that situation.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead. Let you finish your thought, because mine's transitioning us away a little bit.
No, it's okay. I was still building them, I thought. So you can go ahead and transition.
Well, don't transition us back if you think of it. So, I mean, this episode, it felt, I don't know if you saw it, but it felt like the 2009 Star Trek movie that came out. Because, you know, there's an away team, and then they have to send an away team down. You know, in that movie, they send them to land on the mining thing. But now they got to send them onto this asteroid. So it felt
very
J.J. Abrams with how they had to take these little, I won't call them fighters, but little ships and maneuver through this asteroid field. And it felt very Star Trek rebooty.
Now, I find it odd how the 23rd century Federation has more advanced and better technology than 24th century Federation.
I was thinking of that. I was thinking that with the constant holo messages and holo conversations.
Yeah, because they didn't pick that up until Deep Space Nine.
Okay, I've only seen half of Deep Space Nine, and it was never picked up there, so it must be
it was the other half. Yeah, it was literally the back half in like season 5, I think.
I was going to bring that up because one thing they point out is, you know, Pike doesn't like the holo conversations, which is why he's always communicated on screen, which we see in episode 2 or 3. But, it kind of explains why you don't see it on the Enterprise, because if he doesn't like communicating that way, there might not have that technology on board.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just one of the little things that bugs me. It's when the little shit starts piling up where it gets really annoying.
Yeah, it really is. In the 90s, you couldn't, holograms weren't really a thing. You couldn't really build that into a TV show with a good budget. So, I get it now in 2020 or 2000, this was 18-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, CGI costs came way down, so now you're able to do that fun stuff.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, do a compare and contrast to another show that's doing something similar nowadays. You would go to Star Trek, or not Star Trek, Star Wars, to where they're still kind of keeping that same era when doing Rogue One, when doing kind of that old school era, that old school technology that they had in the OG movies. You know, they're kind of keeping it consistent there, but Star Trek can't do the same. They gotta,
well, it just might be one of those things where
they're just, it seems more like they're just trying to over,
they want to update the series and make it relevant to modern times, because you don't want to feel like you're watching a sci-fi show that takes place in the future, but you got to go back to 1960s tech to make it authentic to the show and the canon.
Yeah, I mean, I can get that part, but at least do it to where you got to explain it to where it makes sense.
Maybe it will. Maybe they'll get there. Maybe. Maybe. So, what else happened in this episode? They mentioned Spock, but he did not come aboard to the Discovery.
Right. Let's see.
And that was kind of, you don't see him at all in these 3 episodes, so they're kind of using him as a big reveal. You know, not like Pike, where, he's in there ASAP. But, everyone wants to see Spock. We're Spock.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody knows. Actually, we do know, but we'll get to that. We'll get to it.
Yeah, they're it's clear they're trying to set up some big reveal, but I don't know. I don't like that they're constantly adding new stuff to Spock's storyline.
No, I mean, there's a lot there. You have all that time before next, or not next, the OG series, then you have the time after it, so we'll see.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it's just like, okay, he's got a new sister, and Brennan, that apparently he kind of, we're skipping episodes a little bit, but when you get into the I think, what was it, the third episode, they discover that Spock was the one who sent Sarek to find Brenham, and that Spock's been seeing these red signals, which eventually will be called the Red Angel. He's been seeing them since he was a little kid, and it's been he's been having nightmares. He would have dreams, and he would do all this through his drawings. It's like all this stuff is just completely new personality or new features or new extensions to Spock that we've never really heard about in the past.
So let me argue this. Because we know there's a new series coming with Strange Worlds. If you see the character develop from his childhood, what you see here, or I mean, I guess you don't see, but you kind of are inferred to that he's going a little crazy based on these three episodes. See him develop in season two into the new series to where he transforms into a similar personality on OG series. Can't be too mad about that.
Yeah,
as long as they do it right.
Either they got to do
it right.
So
it's like they're doing things on one end and then on another end, but they have to bridge it together properly. And if they don't bridge it together properly, then I can see some disdain. But
well, I don't know if it's necessarily character development, but more like character. It's not a real term. Like character setting upness, because they did the
establishment.
Because they did the character development through the original series and through the movies. So no, they need to get it to where
further.
Well, they can, but I mean, like, the best way to do it would be how to get Spock to where he was, you know, kind of continuing, or I don't want to say continuing, but I guess establishing early that conflict between logic and emotions, which they're trying to do, but right now they're presenting him on the side of emotion in Discovery, where prior he was more based in logic, you know, because you know, from these episodes they're talking a lot more of an emotional appeal, that he had nightmares, he'd have they're assigning more feelings to Spock, you know, when it came to, even when you found out, because I'm getting a little bit ahead, you find out
typical.
Yeah, I know, but it's all kind of connected to where you know, they claim that he went to an insane asylum because he was starting to go insane, as you described earlier. You know, they're describing a lot of emotions to him.
Psychiatric hospital.
Right. They're describing a lot of emotions to him where if they were going to do it right, they would do it more logic-based and confliction between logic and emotion to establish that before meeting Kirk, who reintroduces.
Well, maybe that's what we'll see in the rest of the season. I mean, we haven't even seen Spock. All we know, he's not right now. He's not.
Right, in the right, yeah.
So that's all we know. He's losing a little bit, and we, you know, I think getting a little ahead of ourselves.
I know, but watching these first three episodes, it's just making me concerned about how they're setting them up.
Okay,
and maybe it will change.
So that's a good concern. So let's note the concern, and
that was a
that
long
way
fucking
if,
concern though.
let's note the concern. That way, if they do explain it and develop it properly throughout the season, hey, you got no beef. And if they don't, you got some beef and we can bring it up. You wish they did this, and they did it. So that's something we could pin and maybe talk about as we work our way through the season.
Yeah, we're just gonna have to wait and see at this point. It's been a while since I watched season two when it aired, because again, I watched both season one and season two only once when they aired. So yeah, maybe we'll learn new things as we go through.
Me too. There was things I don't... I'm trying to think through this first episode, but there was things I don't recall the first time I watched them. Oh, like, one of them is when the away team's getting ready and they come out in those shiny-ass I don't know, spandex looking thing where it matches the color of the uniform. So Pike's like, he kind of looks like a C-3PO. And
when was this? I don't remember that.
So it was right before they go on their away mission and get in the ships to fly down and navigate, and the stupid cocky ass science officer dies because he thinks he knows better.
Hey, this was weird, and it's a mix on tradition. The red shirt didn't die this time.
Yeah.
The blue shirt died.
Good point. I didn't note it in my notes, but I did realize that when I watched it in the episode. But yeah, there's a scene, I don't know, maybe 20. It's right before they go on their away mission. They come out, they're in shiny-ass spandex, and I was like, I'm about to watch, you know, futuristic NSYNC come out and do some moves and sing a song or some shit. It was like, okay, I don't see why they had to go that route, but, you know, you could see a reflection in Brenham's suit because she had a silver one.
Hmm.
I just thought it was funny. That. Yeah, I recommend you go find it somewhere, find a picture, because it is funny, and I don't know how you missed that.
I might have been taking notes. I actually took a bit more notes this time.
Yeah, because it was like 90s boy band meets 23rd century.
Well, I was born at the end of the 90s, so it's not my thing.
And it's also the way they separated, because they were like in a line, and then they came out, and then they were like all side by side by side. So I expected them come out and start singing, break into song and dance.
Funny. It's funny.
But, you know, the joke doesn't pay off if you don't remember the scene.
Yeah, I don't remember the scene, so the joke's not paying off. But I hate to say it, I was kind of glad that the cocky SOB science officer from the Enterprise got killed. Now, was he the chief science officer, and is that how Spock kind of...
They didn't clarify, because, you know, he could have multiple science officers. No one's right. Saying he's chief or she's chief or Spock's chief. It's who knows.
Well, we know that Brenham's...
We just know. No, he might be temporary the head science officer now that we have this new information that Spock is on leave and was at the psych ward. So, yeah, he could temporarily... He could be the acting science officer or lead science officer.
Well, I mean, this could be the way that Spock becomes a science officer, that this guy was initially it and now he's dead. Yeah,
initially a major douche. And
yeah. So
maybe when he has to deal with Spock, someone who's so much smarter than him, he could
maybe they would get along well.
He had to be a dick to other people who he finally interacts with that's inferior, or he thinks is inferior.
Right. Well, I guess we
That was cringeworthy. We're just watching him. I was kind of glad he blew up. I was like, just die already, because we know it's coming.
Yeah, I know, right? And then he was trying to make reference back to his days back in school. Like, well, back when I was in school, people used to think, boom, hit by an asteroid, dead.
Yeah. Newsflash, no one gives a shit, you're dead.
Mm-hmm. So.
This just in.
Yeah.
Yep, he's gone. Well,
what'd you think of the engineer chick? Because they go down to the ship, and there turns out that there is, you know, somebody still alive who is treating the wounded officers on that asteroid.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because on that asteroid is... yeah, part of the reason they go on the away team, I can't believe we didn't mention this, they found a stranded ship that crash landed on an asteroid, so they wanted to make sure there was no survivors. And you know, I don't think she is the same actress, but she reminded me of the mechanic on Tatooine from Mandalorian.
A little bit, but she was more
a little sassy, smart assy, but really intelligent.
Yeah, she seemed a lot more intelligent and sarcastic than the chick on where she was a little bit more.
I think they're both pretty intelligent and sarcastic.
A little bit, but just in different styles.
Yeah, but it was there's definitely a correlation there, or a resemblance.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I thought
a bit. But I mean,
it was creative that, you know, her, an engineer, was able to find a way to keep these 8 or 9 people alive. You know, she got a heart from someone who died and then had to run one person's blood through it so that way he could stay alive. And she was trying to suture or stitch the head of another one because because his the stitch keep opening, so she kept having to do that. And then she designed these WALL-E advanced type robots
yeah, that call fly them around children, I think.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
So she's got some ingenuity.
Yeah, she does.
Pretty creative little one.
Yeah, and then so they manage to rescue him. Burnham gets stuck. Burnham gets rescued by I guess she sees this red angel. Apparently, she thought it was a hallucination, but kind of saves.
Yeah, she took a nice piece of metal into her thigh, and so she, yeah, it could have been. She didn't know that maybe the shock and the pain conjured up this red angel looking thing.
Yeah. And that, and being near the Pulsar, I'm sure there's some kind of something Star Trek pseudo to blame for why the
reason shouldn't appear. One of the things that killed me about this, Tilly brought up that there's something odd about the asteroid that she needs a sample because it interacts weird with the spores, and the spores go crazy when they're around it. So she tries to pick up a piece of the asteroid and bring it back over when it beams, or when they beam back. But the teleporter or transporter was not able to get a lock on it, so it falls through her hands and it stays there. So, in episode 2, so here's our transition.
There you go.
Kind of. I'll have to jump back a little bit because they do capture a meteor or piece of the asteroid at the end of episode 1. But, you know, in episode 2, Tilly says, okay, just a tiny piece of this asteroid weighs tons.
Yeah, like 1.8. As we see something, holy shit!
Yeah, so we see something, probably a piece, probably the size of a marble, maybe a tad bigger. You know, cripples a table full of instruments. That, because it's so heavy. So how can Brenham pick up a piece of this asteroid that's like a softball?
I know.
Try to transport with it, but this little marble-sized piece of an asteroid crushes the GD table.
That's a good question that I don't know the answer to. And if the gravitational field,
the writers weren't thinking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, they really weren't. Especially if it's supposed to be
to each other about getting a piece of the asteroid. Maybe the one that broke the table was a pure form because they think it's has dark matter in it or associated with it, which is why it's so heavy. Maybe the one Brenham picked up wasn't as concentrated in dark matter, but still, there's a inconsistency already.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, there is. Let's see.
But I like, while I'm thinking about it, I like the feel of, while there is an overarching storyline, there is a isolated story within the first 3 episodes.
Now, which story are you referring to? Are you talking about the one with Tilly?
No. Just like, you know, there's an overarching storyline with the 7 signals, but, you know, their mission in episode 1 is to rescue anyone on the ship. Line. Yeah, in episode 2, they have to investigate this another signal phenomenon, which leads them to kind of a 1800 styles colony that's 120 some on light years away from Earth. And there's absolutely no way in hell these humans could be out there on this planet because it's just not feasible. Pike even said at maximum warp, it would take us 120 plus years to get out there.
120 plus years. Well, what's
He said years. It would take him. He said, you know, maybe my grandkids or my grandkids' grandkids would be able to make it if we were to, you know.
Yeah, but I'm trying to warp. But I'm trying to think, like,
maybe I got the 120 light years confused with the 125 years or whatever.
Yeah, I was gonna say because
I might have gotten a number confused, but given it's, you know, it's so far out there that there's no way there should be a human colony out there.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. Where was I going? Because when you said that the 120 something years, it kind of threw me off because of Voyager went about 70,000 light years, which was all the way on the other side of the galaxy, and only, you know, was projected 70 years for them to get back. But then again, the max speed of warp technology was different in this time than in Voyager's time, so that's why just a little confusion. I was surprised. Pike wanted to stick with the Prime Directive when he found out that these people did not know about space technology, especially when he found out that these people who, because they ended up beaming down to the planet with these colonists who were human. And it turns out that they were brought there back during World War III. Mm-hmm. And apparently, according to the story, they all gathered in a church or was hiding in a battle. You had soldiers, you had people just hiding into the church, and there were nukes that were about to drop, and some red angel came and saved the people in the church and transported the church onto this planet. And yeah. They did not know
thousands of light years away. Or yeah. Hundreds of light years away.
Yeah, and they did not know who this angel was. They did not know which religion. So according to them, at the church, they
combined all the religions.
All the major religions of Earth into one. And they have just been on this planet ever since.
Yep.
There was something else that I noticed that I thought was interesting. Pike, when was referring to the language that they spoke, he said that they spoke Federation Standard, which in this case would be English. So I guess there's kind of that universal basic language in English. So that way, I didn't actually know that that was the standard language. I just figured with UI that they just spoke whatever the hell they want. And UI. No, not Universal Translator. UT, sorry. What's UI?
I don't know.
I don't either.
User interface is all I can think of.
User interface? I don't know what the fuck I was thinking of.
I don't know either. I don't either.
Let's see, what else? And then it's funny how the asteroid that was in the first episode just so happened to be the solution to the problem that came up in the second episode. So,
yeah, don't get me started on that. I was like, then they explained that the helmsman or helm has to do a donut in space to slingshot this asteroid, which is filled with dark matter and has enough gravity to pull all these radioactive debris material. I don't remember what they said it was, but enough to pull it away from falling into the planet's atmosphere and causing a catastrophic event.
Yeah, something from the planet's rings. The planet had rings and something, a cataclysmic event was about to take place. So they had to just get there in time, and they just so happened to have the one thing that would save the day.
Yeah.
So
funny who was the plan was conjured up from Tilly's hallucination because she is losing her shit after trying to abstract a piece of the dark matter from this asteroid. And, she starts hallucinating and seeing, she goes all sixth sense and I see dead people.
Yeah, right. Well, that's when she found out that the person that she's seeing was a child.
She finds that out in third episode.
No, I thought it was at the end of this one. Because, it's the end of this one, because you have it in the notes. Tilly is hallucinating a former deceased friend from her childhood that she pulled
I even up. Highlighted it. Okay.
Yes, you did.
My bad.
Mm-hmm. So she found out that this friend died, that she knew her back from her childhood, and she starts freaking out when going into episode 3. I think this would actually be an interesting transition. She finds out that she is hallucinating, and at the start of episode 3, she continues this hallucination while performing a half marathon, and she continues her mental breakdown.
And that's kind of how we get episode 3. I don't get this whole running around the ship thing. I mean, come on. Even in 2020, we got treadmills. You could have a gym and just run on a treadmill. Why?
Have you ever ran a half marathon on a treadmill?
Have I ever ran on a treadmill? No.
Yeah, that's the better question. Wow, we should have known that one. But yeah, I would imagine running a half marathon on a treadmill would be super boring, especially since, they're trying to do it as a competition. Plus, I mean, you could also adjust the
running around. I mean, maybe there's some other emergency, or you know, someone has some experiment going on, and they got to run, go into the hallway, and move somewhere else, and then boop, you collide with them.
Well, I don't know.
It's just a weird way of handling it. You think with all the technology, all the simulations, and you know, we've even seen in season one, they have some holotech. Not as advanced as Next Generation, but they could do something that's not running through the halls of the ship. I mean, imagine running through the halls of an aircraft carrier trying to get your half marathon in, or running on the deck of the ship just going back and forth. That would be weird.
Well, yeah, it would be weird, but you got to think of it more like the Navy than the Air Force, and running off, say, an aircraft carrier or a destroyer. That's something that a lot of soldiers do, is run through or run on the top
deck.
That's
what I was just referencing.
But you did it more Air Force than Navy.
No, I didn't. I said an aircraft carrier.
Oh, did you? Oh, I thought you said...
I said, imagine running up and down the halls of an aircraft carrier, or the decks of an aircraft carrier. I imagine they got some little gym. I mean, I'd never served. I've never been on an aircraft carrier, so I don't know. But I imagine they have a room.
I mean,
big enough for a couple of treadmills if someone... I know they'll do PT sometimes on the deck when they're not expecting some flights coming in, or there's no activity on the deck otherwise. But I'm just thinking, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I if it was me, I'd rather just go for a run. I hate running on the treadmill. It fucking sucks. And, you know, carriers are fucking huge. They're mile and a half long.
Okay, what about a...
Same with the...
A destroyer or submarine.
Yeah, I mean, you could still do it. It's just, I don't know. I'm not a Navy man. I got a couple friends on the Navy I could always call up and ask, but I got one friend actually who is serving on a destroyer. I could always call him up and ask him.
Just serve him. Just send him a text. Be like, hey, how do you if you exercise, how do you exercise? Do you run up and down the decks, or do y'all have an exercise room with a couple treadmills?
Yeah, when I get the chance, I'll ask him. I think he's deployed right now. I think he's, I think he's deployed right now, but I know he's stationed on a destroyer. So yeah, when I get the chance, I'll ask him.
Yeah.
But let's see.
He should be able to reveal that information.
Yeah. I'm sure it's not a problem. Anyways, let's get back to Star Trek. So, let's see. We started episode 3. So Tilly's continuing to lose her mind because she's seeing this, what was her name? May?
I think that's what they called her.
May? Yeah. So she keeps seeing May everywhere she goes. And
it's all about May. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always think of that meme.
May's. Oh, man.
No, the Justin Timberlake where, you know.
Oh, I was thinking of the Grown Ups when they were making fun of May's. May. Oh, May.
Yeah. No, yeah. I was thinking of the Justin Timberlake. It's all about May.
Where
he says it's all about me, but it comes out like all about me.
What's up with you and Justin Timberlake and NSYNC? Because that's what you've been referencing. Were you a Justin Timberlake fan? Were you secretly in love with NSYNC growing up?
It was either NSYNC or Backstreet Boys, and that's just what came out because that's the first thing that popped in my head.
We just happened to
be talking about Justin Timberlake's "It's All About Me."
Oh, okay.
It's coincidental.
Mm-hmm. When the coincidences start piling up, it's...
Whatever.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But as you were mentioning, Tilly is losing her shit, like, to the point where it looks like she freaks out on the captain and yells at the captain. She's not. She's...
Well, they don't know that because
they don't know that because they can't see. And, you know, the bridge crew can't see what she's looking at because her hallucination is standing in between her and the captain.
Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, it's a hallucination, so they're not going to be able to see it.
Yeah, but I just love how Suru is acting like a mom. He'd be like, don't talk to the captain that way. What are you thinking? Go to your room. Mother Suru. It's like, weird.
I mean, it makes sense.
It was funny,
that...
but it was just, I mean, it wasn't supposed to be funny, but it was funny to me because I could just see our mom being like, whoa, you can't say that shit. Get the... Well, she would probably curse in Spanish and make us go to our room, but.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. You know, why do they always, when they do those hallucinations, they always somehow match up to where they're kind of related to what the hallucination is saying to where what the real person's saying. So it's like they're trying to help, but and then you know that they're saying something, but you listen to the hallucinations, and then when Tilly's yelling, why do they always do that? It's something that always happens in any, not just in Discovery, but just kind of in every show when they do a hallucination, you know, to where the dialogue just so happens to line up with the hallucination saying to what, you know, the person who is talking to somebody else is saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so the response seems like they're responding to the actual person when they're actually responding to the hallucination.
Yeah. Is that just like a common theme in Hollywood? You know, it's just, it feels like it's something that's played out a lot. But now, granted, they played it off pretty well in this episode. It's just, it seems like something they just, it seems a little overdone.
Yeah, I was watching it. I was just like, I'm like, okay, this is like, because you've seen it so much. I'm not saying it was cringeworthy, but I was like, I cringed a little bit. I was like, okay, let's get through the scene. Let's move on. We know she's losing her shit.
I didn't see her just, I quit.
Suru Mom is just, not helping either.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of interesting. Just, I quit. She just turns around and leaves. And then.
Yeah, I expected her to be like, I'm just, something's not right. I'm going to med bay or I'm going to my quarters.
Yeah, I know. That's what I expected too.
Instead of, you know, fuck this shit. Fuck you guys, I'm going home.
Yeah. Well, here, let's.
That's pretty much what that was.
Yeah, it really was. Screw it. No, it was, screw you guys. I'm going home.
Well, I said it my way. Get over it.
Yeah, but that's it. That's the way it goes. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Well, that's not the way the cookie crumbled.
Yeah, I guess so. Well,
that's not how that goes either. So suck one.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, I say let's move on. Did you notice that? Because in the next scene, they kind of transitioned to the Klingon Empire. What the fuck?
Oh, it's constantly back and forth between, I mean, it's like 2 minutes on the Enterprise, 2 minutes with the Klingon Empire, and it's like that most of the episode.
Yeah, it is. But I meant, like, what's up with the hair? Why did they go from, because now they are all growing hair, they're growing facial hair, to where during the war, I guess they refrained from growing their hair? Even brought it up in the dialogue, but... Yeah. What the hell?
here's my two-worded answer. Or four words. Course correction from season one.
That's
five
gotta
words.
Be the...
Damn it. Course correction from season one. Five words. God dang it.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't count the one as a word.
Yeah. Well.
Whatever. I mean, but yeah, I think people didn't like the Klingons in season one. They were bald. It made no sense. There was no facial hair. There was no hair on top of their head. They explained it as just a trend. And I think in the end of season one, we do see some Klingons with hair in the on Kronos. But for the most part now, everyone's growing it. And I just think it was because there was so much dislike for their appearances in season one that they're like, oh, we should explain that they're growing hair now and maybe make it a wartime thing, even though it doesn't exactly fit with canon.
It feels like Star Wars Episode 9, where it was like, okay, we got to try and correct for all the problems that Episode 8 had to deal with, you know. And it's like, okay, we got you a solution. It doesn't really make sense. It's not the best, but it's a solution to this plot hole. Yeah.
There you go.
You know,
so. Pretty much. But there was more with the Klingon, because we see more of L'Oreal in her. Now she has hair, so it kind of goes, you know, her, oh wait, is L'Oreal a makeup brand? I don't even know. I've been making this joke for five episodes. I don't even know.
I have no idea. I thought it was like a shampoo kind of thing.
Okay, gotta Google it. But anyways, I'll keep talking about my point, because we do see her as chancellor and trying to lead them, but there's still some problems, especially with the House of, I think they said Kor. Those are the Klingons who have the red lines over their eyes, like a war paint or whatever. So we still do see some tension within the Klingon Empire, and a lot of it has to do with Tyler. You know, he's her right hand man. He looks like a human. So it kind of rubs off on a lot of people the wrong way. So L'Oreal is a hair coloring, skincare, sun protection. So it's a cosmetic company.
okay.
So you could, they have hair dye or whatever. So I guess it kind of fits because someone had to dye that wig they put on her.
Yeah, right.
So,
it looks so, I mean, there's a lot too.
Of tension. But then the big reveal, at least on the Klingon side of this episode, is Volk and L'Oreal had a kid.
Yeah. Supposedly.
She got pregnant.
Yeah, I guess he got... Well, I guess she got pregnant when he was transitioning or in the process of transitioning.
Yeah, she said she found out while they were performing the surgeries to turn him into Tyler.
Mm.
So, but the thing that got me is, you know, we know Klingons have two organs of everything. We know they have two dicks, and I guess that makes them twice as fertile.
I don't know if that's true.
Right? Is there two vaginas? And maybe there's two eggs and twice as much semen, so...
I don't know if
or Klingon men, whatever they call them, whatever they call their man juice.
If I know.
If anyone knew, it'd be you. You
well, you I mean, I don't Klingon know if they have two dicks.
Dictionary.
I have a dictionary, well, okay. Not a dictionary. You know, I mean...
Well, we see in...
It's Klingon words, not pictures of their dicks or how many dicks they got. I mean...
No, you took it there. I did it. Kind of. Anyways, at the end of season one, in the finale, when they beam onto Kronos, we do see a drunken Klingon peeing in two separate streams. Now, I know guys can do that because we've all peed in different streams before, but this was two distinct, solid streams coming from two different points, like they had two wieners.
I don't know. I don't even know what scene you're talking about. I don't usually watch scenes where guys
are peeing.
Do you
watch these episodes we talk
not
about?
Not when dudes are peeing. It's like,
it's
that's not what my...
And it's like, it's
know,
literally on the screen for half
I...
a second. It's but enough not... to tell you they have two different penises because I've seen a stream and it comes out like a fork when it comes from one penis and it goes into multiple streams. It looks like a fork or kind of like a Y, where this was two parallel streams.
That could be true, but I also know a guy who supposedly has a hole in his dick, and now every time he pees, it pees in two different directions because he's got two different holes. So you never know.
I was going to say every guy has a hole in it, or should have a hole in his dick. But
no, he's got two.
Okay, this conversation got really weird. Let's transition.
Wait, you're the one who brought it up. I don't know why you wanted to talk about
I had a simple question of, we know Klingons have two organs of everything. We've seen they have two penises. Does that make them twice as fertile? That's all I wanted to know. And you don't know.
No, I do not know.
We didn't have to get into this whole conversation of holes and dicks and different streams and
peeing. You were the one
tridents.
Who brought up the different shrieks, is it? But all right, I say let's
okay.
just move on.
Yes, let's move on. Because it might be our best segment, but it's definitely our weirdest.
It is. Well, yeah, that's for damn sure. Okay.
But it might be the funniest we've had in a while.
It could be. It probably is, because we're not that funny.
I mean,
probably the
funny,
funniest since...
Not everyone else finds it funny.
Oh, man. The vibrating... Probably since the vibrating vagina. Was it the vibrating...
Oh, yeah. When we first started our show. Yeah, with Picard.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't even remember what her name is. What's the girl's names? Because there was...
Who cares? We're not on that show.
I know, but now I'm thinking about the vibrating vagina.
Well, don't. So, let's move on. God, now I can't for a second.
Stop thinking about the vibrating vagina. I know.
Well, I was just trying to think how I can transition, and we'll keep it here at the with the Klingons, because we find out Vulcan and L'Oreal have a kid. You know, L'Oreal's known for a while, obviously, because she had a birth it, and Tyler just finds out because her uncle has kind of been throwing some shade his way, and he finally approaches her uncle and is like, what the fuck's going on? And that's when he reveals the baby. And then I guess House Core figures it out, and their leader kind of kidnaps the baby, and he wants the chancellorship, which leads into this whole fight. And it ends up another big surprise with Giorgio coming in to save the day, because Starfleet, and we find out she's with Section 31. Section 31 wants to keep L'Oreal in the chancellorship, which L'Oreal then changes the name of the chancellorship to the mother, which, okay, that's not what I would have changed the name to, but if that's what they want to do, whatever.
Okay, that's another thing that bothers me, because women weren't allowed to sit on the Klingon High Council or serve as chancellor, and now she's serving as chancellor. Also, why is there no emperor? Because there was supposed to be an emperor at this time, I think.
That I don't know.
So I mean,
I'm not familiar with their hierarchy and their governmental structure to know that they're supposed to have an emperor. And well, you know, she's going to be mother, so whenever whatever happens to her, and if we find out anywhere, it's going to be Strange New Worlds, given Discovery goes into the future. So
a good way to think about the Klingons is like ancient Japan, to where they have that feudal house style, the warriors. They have that's the kind of system that they have. They have an emperor, but they also have a chancellor, you know, like the council of the most powerful houses, and that's kind of how their governmental structure works. So that's okay. Just a good parallel.
Okay, but you know, to answer, I don't know why she's. Yeah, I mean, they've referred that they don't want her as chancellor, and she can't really be chancellor, but she did bring the houses together, so she's like chancellor because of that.
Yeah. I guess.
But we'll see. Maybe it's one of those things that don't last long. We'll find out in future series. Maybe Strange New Worlds. Maybe if we ever get that Section 31 series or wherever Tyler pops up. I don't know if he's on the Discovery in Season 3. I don't remember.
I don't know. We'll get to there eventually.
We'll have to find out.
Yep.
Yeah. And then to finish the story, well, there's two other stories we haven't talked about, really. Or finished, at least. Because you have the Tilly story, which they find out is pretty much she's just got a fungus that's tapping into her brain because the fungus is pissed off at Stemmons for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So what they do is have to kind of suck the fungus out of her. And I don't know about you, but it reminded me of the suck and cut from Wayne's World. It reminded me of that scene. We got to suck this out of you and be like, it's sucking my will to live.
Yeah, I remember that. That's funny.
So that's what it reminded me of. And it was like a very unsatisfactory way to end that storyline, given that she was hallucinating. But you find out it wasn't really a hallucination because the hallucination didn't know what crying was. And hallucinations are based off of your own mind. So if she knows what crying is, the hallucination should. All this whole other mumbo jumbo. And I just felt
forced,
very unsatisfactory. And it was, they pull it out of her. Pull out. I can't believe I did that. And then they set up a containment field around it. And they just kind of leave it as that storyline has a cliffhanger. If it gets answered in episode 4, we'll have to find out.
Yep. And then, let's see.
And then the Brenham Spock storyline, which is, and Amanda's Brenham's foster mother, Spock's
mother,
birth mother. And she comes aboard with stolen medical records. You find out, you know, Spock was in the psych ward, which we knew. We found out that he's broken out of the psych ward and killed several of his doctors. So they say, so there's a manhunt going on for him.
Yep.
And what else? Oh, and then you find out that, you know, Amanda kind of elaborates on the dreams that he's been seeing the Red Angel for a while now, and that he had these drawings that he did about 2 months before the signal starting to appear, and the coordinates for the drawings are pretty close to the actual coordinates they pop up. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on with Spock and this whole Red Angel situation.
Yeah. And it's going to be, I guess we'll have to wait and see how that continues. I think there was one more storyline in this episode that got closed out, and that was the Tyler and the baby storyline. Because Georgia,
yeah, so I guess I didn't.
Georgia, yeah, Georgia comes in and ends up saving Tyler and L'Oreal. Yeah, that's
L'Oreal. Which I mentioned, I didn't close that out, my bad.
Yeah, so. And what they did was Giorgio convinces the Chancellor L'Oreal to essentially fake Tyler's and the baby's death by showing severed heads, which are genetically almost identical to Tyler and them, and throwing them into a lava pit.
Well, I wouldn't say genetically, but appearance-wise.
Yeah, well, I think they said that it was a genetic replica, and that's where, because after that you find out that Tyler's really alive with the kid on a Section 31 ship, and he's like, where the hell did you guys get that? And she's like, oh, she flashed the bat, and I guess somehow he knew that that was Section 31, which is another thing. There, Section 31's not that casual about it. Nobody knows that Section 31s exists. It's a supposed to be like a top secret, super secret organization. So I don't like how casual they are with, you know, throwing around Section 31.
If there's some secret government agency that everyone knows about, what's the point of having a secret government agency?
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I guess it could be like Area 51. Everyone knows about Area 51, but...
See, what I want to know is...
Area 51.
Where's the other 50 areas? Everybody knows about Area 51, but what about Area 1, 2, 3, through 50? What are they for? Nobody ever talks about them.
We're not starting conspiracy theories on this show.
Just saying. So,
yeah, I know you're just saying, but we're not starting none of that conspiracy theory mumbo jumbo.
It's a conspiracy, man.
Next thing you know, people are going to be searching for the other 50 areas and possibly an infinite more if there's more areas that came after 51.
Yeah, who said 51 was the last one? They could have kept building.
Okay, that's enough. So, but one thing we didn't mention, because Tyler did reach out to the Federation, that's kind of what they use to prompt his betrayal, you know, because it wasn't really exactly hidden that he reached out to Brenham and let him know that the High Council or the Klingons are, you know, they're united, but they're separated and there's a lot of infighting. So they use that call to kind of, you know, she's like, you think I'm not loyal? This motherfucker, he contacted the Federation and I had to come in and do what I had to do because he is not worth more than me than this Klingon Empire. So the Klingons think he's dead and a traitor.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens if they ever find out that he's not dead.
Yeah, for real. So.
Okay. All right. Well,
what did you start of season three or season two, first three episodes? What did you think?
It's still they solved a lot of problems. Or I don't want to say they solved, but they fixed a lot of the problems from season one and season two. They're still created a lot of new ones going forward, so it's like okay, but I don't know. It's some ups and some downs. I like that they knew that there were problems with the show and they tried to correct it. They added a little bit more humor, which I like. They have a little bit more of an episodic storyline per episode, like you said earlier, which is more Star Trek and I like, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't like the new storylines that they're creating. I don't like the new... It's going in a direction that I just don't like. I like Captain Pike. I think he's killing it right now. Acting's okay. I don't know. It's 6 out of 10 so far. It improved, but it also took a step back. So it's kind of hard to really... Yeah.
It fixed some areas, but damaged some other areas. So
exactly. So I don't know. What are you thinking?
I like so far. I like Pike, and I think he's one of the main reasons why... I stuck with this season. And, you know, the overarching storyline with this this red angel and the seven signals is, yeah, it was intriguing enough to kind of keep you coming back. So,
all right. Well,
so, I mean, I like it. I think it's off to a decent start. If I can compare it to season one, I don't know what started better. Probably this one by a smidge.
Oh, I think this one was better start. I think it was definitely a better start than the first season.
Because
I think the first season, I think after the first three, I only gave it like a 5.5. So I think this is a slight.
Well, that was I know that was your overall rating for the entire season. I don't remember the rating for the first three episodes.
It might have been a 5. This one was better than the first season so far, but it's not hugely better. It's not a huge improvement. So
okay,
all right. Well, what
alrighty then.
Shall we punch it?
Punch it, we can beat him.
Punch it, kill it.
Punch it.
Punch it!
Punch it, hot mate! Punch it, let's get the hell out of here.
Let's punch it.
What do we have to look forward for next week's episode, then?
All right, well, next time on Deep Space High, we will talk about episode 4, An Obel for Sharon. I guess maybe I said that right. Episode 5, Saints of Imperfection, and episode 6, The Sound of Thunder.
Ooh, are we going to be seeing an appearance from Thor in this episode?
No.
Aw. Oh. How disappointing. All right. Well, I guess that'll do it for this week's episode then. Thank you everyone for listening to Deep Space High. Be sure to join us next time as we continue our discussion on Star Trek Discovery.
And don't forget to keep the conversation going with hashtag Deep Space High and hashtag Tacos and Trek. Also, be sure to follow our Facebook page at Deep Space High Sci-Fi TV Reviews and our Instagram at Deep Space High Pod. If you follow either of those or both of those, you can stay up to date with our latest announcements.
Yeah, and also, we want to ask everyone to leave a review on Apple Podcasts and please give us a 5-star rating. It really helps. It helps get the viewership out there. It helps with the algorithms. I'm not entirely sure how that works, but by giving us a 5-star rating, it helps boost our...
What it does, you go ahead and you rate us 5 stars, you give us a review, it brings people more in, maybe we move up on the charts a little bit, we bring more listeners in, and then bada boom, bada bing, bada bang, we're doing more shows.
Yeah, and then
hopefully
you leave
better
a,
shows.
Yeah, you leave a review, you get more people listening, get more reviews from them, get better feedback, you get better content. It's a give and take relationship. So go ahead and give those 5-star reviews. Yeah, that's true.
Better content is we will try and strive for it, but it's not guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, on that note, I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
And I'm Jedi Master Steve. Live long and prosper.